Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Elena Montoya and Gabriel Rivera. On Monday, rather Tuesday, do you remember what it is that I charged you to do after Deacon Marvin gave us a beautiful homily? One person remembers. There we go. Everybody remembers now. It's early in the morning, I understand. I'm still living on East Coast time, so I'm still 2 hours ahead of you, and we're waking up really early in the morning. So I've been up for a long time, since like five or before. Tobit, have you read it? It's just 12 chapters. 12 chapters. When Deacon Marvin began with us there, we began it. We only do it every 2 years in that beautiful book, which the Protestants sadly kick out of the Bible, but it's so beautiful right there. What does it show us? It shows us this beautiful work of where God, as we preached on Wednesday, hears prayers at the same time and works their completion, their answer, God's grace within their lives through each other. That's an important thing. On Monday, we saw that, or Tuesday, we saw that beautiful couple and how marital strife often erupts, showing that neither of them is the righteous person that they think. Marriage shows that to us, doesn't it? But we're supposed to grow together. Then again, yesterday, or Wednesday, we did that, and Thursday shows us more about how the journey goes and then how God desires to heal Sarah, to make sure that she is healed in her relationship, because her relationship was consecrated to God immediately before the couple consummated their relationship. That's the thing that drives away demons from our lives, consecrating our relationship to God. And then today, what do we see? We see the resolution of everything, and God righting all things, and the joy that comes when God restores everybody. I want to draw attention to something that we didn't meet, probably pay attention to at the beginning. It says right here, at the very beginning, Tobit is arriving there, and Anna runs with his arms to greet him, but what does he say right here? I should wear my glasses and be able to see better. Wasn't there. It's where Raphael, okay. Raphael said to his Anasat watching on the road to come, and when he was coming, she exclaimed, Tobit, your son is coming, and the man who traveled with him. Well, in the version that I had anyway, I read that it said that Tobias, Raphael turns to Tobias and he says, when you enter into the house, first go and adore the Lord. First go and adore the Lord. And then give him thanks. And then embrace your father. That's the passage there. Maybe in my translation it's a little bit different than this here reading from the Douay Rheims. But those are the first words that Raphael, the angel that brings healing, says to do when you enter into your father's house. First go and adore God. Second, give him thanks. And third, to embrace your father. That's what First Friday is all about. Tobias has entered into a journey where he's done battle with demons and dark forces which have sought to destroy his bride, which has sought to destroy his father, and all sorts of evil that he's encountered. And the end of that journey, he comes back to his father's house. That's like you and me. Every time we go out of this church, we are attacked in so many ways and so many difficulties, and then we arrive back here, God willing, again, to return to our Father's house. And the first thing that we come to do is to do what? To adore our Father. To adore God. To adore He who is present here within the tabernacle. That's what we're here to do. To make reparation in that way. To make sure that He is loved here in this tabernacle. And it brings great joy. To give him thanks for all the things that he's done. Yes, we have things that we need help with, but to begin adoring him, then giving him thanks for things, and then embracing our Father. He's here. The Lord desires us to embrace him. And so I want to give you a little passage. It's not too short, but from Cardinal Robert Seurat. He's the former prefect of the Congregation of Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments, a very, very holy man. He wrote some very touching books over the past years that can really grow your spiritual life if you listen to them. Here's one from his most recent one where he talks about the night has drawn, the day has grown long, and the night is coming. Something to that, I can't remember the exact title. This is what he says. He speaks about love, the love that we should have for God. He says, we cannot speak about charity unless we start with the heart of Jesus. Charity is not an emotion. Charity is really a participation in the love with which God loves us, in the love that has manifested itself in the sacrifice of the Mass. When Christians hear the word charity, they think of giving a little money to the poor or to a charitable organization. It is about much more than that. Charity is the blood that courses through the heart of Jesus. Charity is the love that gives itself even unto the point of death. Love causes us to embrace God himself. It makes us enter into his Trinitarian communion where everything is love. Charity manifests the presence of God in the soul. St. Augustine said it clearly, quote, if you see charity, there you see the Holy Trinity, because God is charity. At the heart of our religion is the discovery of charity that gives the saint such a disconcerting countenance. A saint is someone who, fascinated by the beauty of God, gives up everything, even himself, and enters into a great movement of return to the Father that was initiated by Christ. We are called to it. I want to repeat to all Christians, we are called to renounce everything, even ourselves, out of love for God. We have to live out this radical renunciation, each one in his own state of life. We have to experience the truth that God is love, and that God's love is enough. I want to insist on this point. Christian charity makes me love my brethren for God and in God. When Mother Teresa held the hand of a dying person, she loved Christ in agony in that very person. Mother Teresa and the community of nuns that follows in her footsteps, the missionaries of charity, have given us the example. She always sent as the first condition for establishing her foundations the presence of a tabernacle. The presence of a tabernacle. Without the presence of the love of God who gives himself, it would not have been possible to carry out that apostolate. It would not have been possible to live out such self-abandonment. Only by entering into this abandonment in God, into this adventure of God, into this humility of God, could she accomplish with her sisters this great act of love, this openness to everyone. Today we seek to live out this very same mystery of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in that same way. We're returning from the world and whatever is going on, and we maybe feel that we're lacking charity, lacking love, lacking the presence of God in what it is that we do, lacking that strength to go forward. Well, like St. Mother Teresa's sister said, like the good cardinal speaks, we're here at the tabernacle. And it's only in going to the tabernacle that we're able to find that charity, which is God himself, that empowers and gives us the way to live out that real self-abandonment that each Christian is called to. If you're lacking that, and Father Burnaby is lacking that, if you're lacking that, each of us are lacking that in some way, then we're here on First Friday to make that reparation and to ask our Lord to restore it to us as we spend time with him before the tabernacle, but also before his exposed presence. Don't miss out on that grace. Even if you're still at home or wherever you happen to be, to find time to escape whatever difficulty it is that you're going through, as hard as it is, and if possible, to be with him here within his church. It is only because we have a tabernacle here that we can hope to be Christians, to live out that charity, as he says, this sublime openness to everyone, which is the life of the Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.